Some of the consumer advocates criticized Joe Barton publicly for having accepted ExxonMobil campaign contributions in the past. That angered Dingell. He didn't like the conduct from some of the consumer groups, a staffer involved said, particularly the effort to demonize the other side. That was unhelpful. Dingell had been on the receiving end of similar attacks in the past and hadn't appreciated them. Barton and his staff dug in deeper. The conference convened a stakeholders' meeting on phthalates in a congressional hearing room, a semi-formal roundtable where consumer advocates and representatives from ExxonMobil, the American Chemistry Council, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission could all make their arguments in front of the key staffers negotiating the final bill. The ExxonMobil scientists who specialized in phthalate lobbying turned up to represent the corporation. The congressional staff sat in committee member chairs, like judges. The industry scientists and the consumer group scientists and advocates took their places in the audience, on opposite sides. The setting felt like one of those Saturday Night Live point-counterpoint debates, Janet Noodleman of the Breast Cancer Fund recalled. Pretty much every developed nation in the world has banned phthalates from kids' toys, Noodleman told the meeting. But Congress is still debating. It was time to act, she said. Somebody presented a Gumby doll as an exhibit. Shannon Weinberg, Joe Barton's lead staffer on the issue, remarked, according to a participant, "If I were a mother, I'd never let my kids play with a Gumby." It was not obvious what the legislative implications of her comment were. Vinyl ducks made with DINP and ducks made without DINP were placed side by side and fondled. Some staffers felt they could not tell much difference between the two kinds, despite being told by ExxonMobil lobbyists that DINP-less toys might be so hard and inflexible that they could pose a choking hazard. ExxonMobil's scientists argued again that the amount of DINP in children's toys was so negligible as to pose no realistic hazard. Any time there was a discussion, a conference participant remembered, it always went back to, you'd have to eat 500,000 rubber ducks to have an impact, an exaggeration of the 3,400 ducks in the written materials. It just reverted back to the ducks. That's where the chaos started. In the end, the stakeholders' meeting allowed all sides to be heard, but it did not precipitate a compromise. The stalemate dragged into July. The overall toy bill was popular among members and senators in both parties. It would set new standards for testing toys, and it would improve the quality of imported toys, defending America's toddlers from unscrupulous Chinese factory managers. It would be frustrating, conference staff felt, if the broader law failed to pass only because of a phthalates lobbying stalemate. Later, several competing versions arose about how the final compromise originated. In any event, it was Solomonic. Three of the more obviously dangerous phthalates, out of the six outlawed in the Senate version, would be banned outright. DINP would be banned from children's toys and teethers in the United States, at least for now. To salve ExxonMobil's wounds, however, the bill would order the Consumer Product Safety Commission to convene another chronic hazard advisory panel to examine health effects from the full range of products and consider the cumulative effect of total exposure to all phthalates in children's products. If the CHAP reached conclusions about DINP similar to those of a decade earlier, ExxonMobil's position might ultimately prevail, and the temporary ban on DINP use in toys would be lifted. For the time being, however, newly manufactured vinyl ducks and other toys that might be mouthed by American children would be free of DINP. What mattered most about this compromise proposal was that Dingell was enthusiastic. He and his staff pressed it upon Barton. After some hesitation, Barton accepted. President Bush signed the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act into law on August 14, 2008. Its final provisions on phthalates could not be described as a triumph for ExxonMobil. The consumer lobbyists had gotten more of what they wanted than the corporation. Yet Joe Barton had hung in there and had won significant concessions. ExxonMobil had a long record of persuading the Consumer Product Safety Commission to see phthalate regulation its way, and now the future of DINP manufacturing would be back before the commission, with ExxonMobil's lobbyists once again involved in a detailed review of phthalate science and risk management. The corporation apparently decided that Joe Barton deserved to be rewarded for his summer of stubbornness. In the world of political campaign contributions, there is a technique referred to as bundling, by which employees of the same company, law firm, or other organized group simultaneously make contributions to the same political candidate to create a booster effect with their money injection. The tactic is legal if the employees act voluntarily without coercion. Within 2 weeks after Bush signed the final toy bill, 19 high-ranking ExxonMobil executives began to make campaign contributions to the Congressman Joe Barton committee, according to the dates recorded for public filing by Barton's committee. On August 25, 2008, Mark Albers of the Upstream Division donated $350. Walter Buchholz, the longtime lobbyist for ExxonMobil Chemical, donated $350. William Colton, the leader of Irving's strategic planning exercises, gave $350. Michael Dolan, another vice president, gave $350. Donald Humphreys gave $750. Richard Krueger gave $350. Stephen Simon, the leader of ExxonMobil's downstream businesses, gave $350. Sherry Stewart, ExxonMobil's leading executive on climate change and environmental issues, gave $350. Andrew Swiger gave $500. And Theodore Voyner, a general manager at ExxonMobil Chemical, gave $350. About a week later, on September 2, 2008, ExxonMobil chairman and chief executive Rex Tillerson led a second wave of giving to the Barton Committee, with a donation of $1,500. Sarah Taze, a public affairs executive, gave $350. Stephen Pryor, the president of ExxonMobil Chemical, gave $350. Stephen LaSala gave $350. Henry Hubble, in charge of the corporation's Wall Street relations, gave $350. And Ken Cohen gave $500. Gene Mitchell, ExxonMobil's lobbyist in the House of Representatives, soon gave another $1,000. When the recorded contributions stopped on October 2nd, about 6 weeks after the toy safety bill's passage, Barton had received $10,150. The sum might not be grandiose, but it did suggest a message. We take care of our friends. ExxonMobil does not collect, report, monitor, or track individual employees' personal political contributions, Alan Jeffers, a spokesman for the corporation, said in a statement prepared in response to inquiries about these donations. ExxonMobil does not bundle contributions or in any way illegally facilitate the making of federal campaign contributions. At the time you reference, Representative Barton had been chairman of the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee and later minority ranking member of the committee, which placed him at the center of many policy issues affecting U.S. business and industry. It is incorrect and misleading to allege that legal donations by individual ExxonMobil employees were in any way tied to a single vote on a single issue among the many that Representative Barton would have been involved with at the time. Public records collated by the Center for Responsive Politics suggest that ExxonMobil took an especially strong interest in Barton during 2008, however. Barton attracted donations during each two-year campaign cycle from many corporations, but in 2008, ExxonMobil was one of the congressman's top three campaign donors, for the only time in a decade. Combining corporate, ExxonMobil Political Action Committee, and individual employee contributions, ExxonMobil gave Barton $38,298 that year, more than 40% more money than in any other cycle since 2000. In a telephone interview, Jeffers said he believed a fundraising event had been held for Barton around the time the 2008 donations by ExxonMobil employees were recorded in public filings, but the spokesman later declined to respond to questions about the event's date, organizers, or the timing of invitations in relation to the consumer bill's passage. Barton's office did not respond to requests for comment.